Now that
you're here, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're again counted a great privilege to be in this place, Lord, which has been sanctified by word and prayer, Lord, in order to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we believe, Lord, that that is not only incumbent upon us, but it's a great honor. And we believe in a great measure we fulfill it, Lord, because we believe we have the interpretation, the correct interpretation, the true interpretation, the full interpretation, Lord, of the word of this hour, this that which is perfect has come. And we appreciate that, Lord, to see you, the living God, the living Word, one in this hour. We just ask you now to help us tonight to understand that even more, Lord, and to just have yourself revealed to us, your Word open to us, O God, that it might profit us, might correct us, Lord, that we might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, Lord. We might show ourselves approved, one that need not be ashamed, but approved unto you, Lord. We know that in this hour there is a lot of shame. The nakedness of the church has been discovered. Her fornication, Lord, has been revealed. Her blindness, her undoneness. But, Lord, we know there is a balm in Gilead to heal us. We know there is a proper mind unto repentance, Lord. And we know there is the ability to be clothed in your word, Lord, to stand forth in this hour. We believe that the prophet did that. Actually, you did it through a prophet. So help us to be relaxed tonight, Lord, and to just enjoy whatever you bring to our hearts and our minds, Lord, to be beneficial to us. And we might also be an aid to others. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, of course, we've been studying various messages and combining them with events made clear by prophecy. And in there you'll notice, or have noticed by now, that Brother Branham has brought really a threefold witness. Actually, God himself has done it, or brought it into the position where it is a definitive witness. And he's witnessed to Almighty God. Actually, God is witness to himself. And also that he witnessed to the Word, and then he witnessed to the prophet of this hour. And we also notice that we've seen some things in these various messages. We recognize therein that Brother Branham is actually talking about himself all through the illustrations that he uses in both the Old and the New Testament. And furthermore, he lays down certain very, very strong principles or keys that are strictly and tremendously beneficial to us as we look at his ministry in the light of the Word and what it means for this hour, because that's what it is really all about. We saw one in particular there, which we know that verifies our understanding of the presence of God. And also, Brother Branham said, he said, my ministry is to declare that he is here. And he talks of the appearing as in contradistinction to the coming. And he said he's already appeared. And then he distinguishes between the appearing and signs and wonders as to the literal appearing of his own presence himself. For he said when Moses went down to Egypt, God didn't only appear in signs and wonders, but he literally took the Israelites out and then he appeared to them. Now, of course, it's impossible for us to see the pillar of fire except as in a reflection. It cannot be done because God made his promise to Israel when they said, don't let us hear your voice and see you again, lest we be consumed. Just use Moses. And God said, have truly spoken what they spoken. That's what I'll do. I'll use the prophet. They'll not see me again, and they'll not hear again as they have done. Now, therefore, God cannot break his word. So how can God appear to us? And Brother Branham said that he was seen by thousands in the photograph. Now, God could not let us see, but God could use a camera for this hour to place us in the perfect parallel with the Exodus. All right? We also noticed that Brother Branham taught, which was very correct, that Jesus Christ in his ministry was Son of Man, he was Son of God, and then Son of David, which is to come yet, when he comes back in the millennium to reign upon the throne. That's a physical throne, not a heavenly one, at this particular time. And we saw there that the days of the Son of Man must repeat again. And you notice in Hebrews 6, they crucified themselves afresh, not the Son of Man, but the Son of God. So therefore, there will be an office in there, which is in continuity, in a dualism, although it's in a singular. And Brother Branham could say categorically then, he said, I am not the Son of Man. The pillar of fire is not the Son of Man. It's in the form of the Holy Spirit. Then at the same time, he could say, in this last day, God has given the gift of his Son in the form of the Holy Spirit, just like he did back there in the days of flesh. Now, you can understand then that what Art speaking of, and your and my understanding of the presence of Almighty God is not a fallacious doctrine, is not a blaspheming the word, is not something to be sneered at, but is something to be reckoned with. Because these things cannot be explained unless you understand thoroughly that God is here presently in a way that he was not present before. All right, Brother Branham parallels himself to John the Baptist, where the word comes to the prophet in the water. That's what happened in the high river. And he said, I was not the one that appeared down there. I was the only one standing there when he appeared. And he said, I'm not the one that does those things so correctly and says those things so correctly. But he said, that one there, I was just a voice that he used. I was only a member that he took a hold of. That's what he was telling us. So, Brother Branham understood the presence of God, and as John the Baptist did, and he said, there's one standing amongst you, and I'm going to declare him. Now, the Holy Ghost baptism is not God amongst us. It is God in us. And Brother Branham said, when that spirit that's amongst you, in the midst of you, is incarnated. Now, believe me, the baptism with the Holy Ghost that you and I have is not incarnated. It's already incarnated. The incarnation is already going on. Now, you notice in there that John the Baptist said, his fan is in his hand, thoroughly purges his floor, gathers wheat in the garner, and he's the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost and fire. Now, listen, there's got to be a baptizer before there's a baptized. And there's got to be something to baptize with if there's going to be a baptizer and a baptized. There's got to be an element. Now, the baptized happen to be every member in the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the baptizer is Almighty God himself. And so, therefore, when John said, the mighty baptizer is here, and the fan is in his hand, and thoroughly purges for, that did not happen back there. Because the chaff was not burnt up. So I ask a question. Whose hand is the fan in? Now, if you're a Roman Catholic, and that's exactly what you got to be, or a bankrupt worse than a Roman Catholic, let's face this fact. The church then declares that the fan is in its hand and it's doing the dividing. That's a lie from the pit of hell.
Amen.
God does the dividing.
Yeah.
God's fan is in his hand. God's in the judgment robe. Not some stinking, messed up, foul prostitute church.
Yeah.
You follow what I'm saying? All right, the fan has got to be in somebody's hand.
Right.
And the bride still constitutes church. We don't have a fan in our hand.
Mm-hmm.
When did God give the church the power to judge? At the great white throne, my brother and my sister. And little things in the church.
Yeah.
You understand? That's true. He said he's here. John introduced him. He said, he's amongst you, you don't know him. He's already here. I'm a little ahead of him. Born 6 months early, I think it was. Brother Branham was here on the scene. The prophet ordained for this hour. God came on the scene. He appeared in the form of the Holy Spirit. As Brother Branham said, if he's risen from the dead, Hebrews 13:8, he'll do now in the form of the Holy Spirit what he did when he was here in a human body. And so he's done it.
Amen.
And there again you see the days of the Son of Man. You see the Son of Man revealed. Son of Man, Son of God, Son of Man. But he's still Son of God. Going on to Son of David. It's just a reversion back. Why? Because he had to come to the Gentiles and do exactly for the Gentiles in the form of the Holy Ghost what he did when he was here in the flesh. That's Matthew 4 and Matthew 12. And nobody can gainsay it. It's just as clear as clear can be. So, the prophet then gave witness to Almighty God in his great presence. Present in a way that he was not present before. And appeared, as in the Exodus, of a nation out of a nation, now a church out of a church, a bride out of a church. Now, the same one also said, see, in 6,000 years, this same thing happening today happens 3 times only. Once with Moses, once with Paul, and once with William Branham. God speaking face to face. Now, I know the church wants to arrogate to itself that. Why do you think they crucified Christ? Because the church wanted to take what Christ had.
Right.
And remember, they were Christians. That word is Messiah in the Greek. They were Christians. Lousy bunch. They said, they're looking for Christ. We're Christians, looking for him. We're going to crown him, make him my leader. And they killed him. Now, the same Christians are doing the same thing. See, no difference. They talk about it, but they don't believe it. They don't act on it. All right, now that one was presented. And he's the same yesterday and today and forever, and he is here, just as the prophet told us. And he has revealed himself to the Gentiles, the same as he revealed himself in the flesh to Israel. And we know that Brother Branham
Absolutely, priests, I indict this generation. He didn't say the church did. But he stood as men of old in the old time and said, who is on the Lord's side? Notice how the Pentecost say, God's on our side. Baptists say, God's on our side. Catholics say, God's on our side. We got the vicar. I'm going to tell you one day, God's going to knock the wheels off the chariots of those churches they're going to drag. And it won't be water this time. It's going to be the flood of fire that comes in. See, so you begin to see in the parallel how that Brother Branham did this. And the sorry thing is that the majority of people who say they believe this message do not comprehend it. Oh, well, some say they do. I don't doubt for 1 minute that many people looked at it and said, well, so what? That's the reception I got as I went around preaching. Well, that's nice. It explains a lot of things. So what? See? Well, what did Brother Branham say? He said, God, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit comes down, sets himself ahead of church in order to raise the dead. All right, if he isn't here, the dead won't be raised.
Amen.
Raptures and the rapture itself, the events preceding the rapture, actually it's the events surrounding it, are in three things. Shout, voice, and trumpet. The trumpet is not the rapture. The trumpet is a summoning to the rapture. None of those three things is the rapture. Not one of the three. But all three set the tenor. And without the three, you'll never make the rapture. If you don't hear the shout, you won't hear the voice, you won't hear the trumpet. I'm sorry, that's it.
Amen.
He does all three in descending. Now, if he did the first in the form of the Holy Ghost, and we will not see him incarnated until we're caught up to the marriage supper, which is the second coming, then everything down here is the appearing. So in the appearing, we saw the pillar of fire. In the appearing, we will see the dead come out of the ground in the resurrection. And in the appearing, we'll all appear together at the summoning of the trumpet and be in one place. All, and this world can be round, flat, square, and who gives a hoot? Well, I don't think, Brother Baird, what the earth's round and some of the folk. Oh, listen, don't you know they can pass through that earth so quick in a bodily form, zap, like that. Come on. Merciful God. We made back there in the black ages. Back in stupidity, spiritual darkness and undoneness. Jesus Christ went through a brick wall.
Amen.
Brother Branson, you travel faster than the speed of thought. In other words, just as fast as God can think, and once that trumpet blows, they'll be right there. Or they'll be there previously. I don't know how he's going to do it. They'll be in one place. He said so. Now, they won't come out of the ground in one place, but they'll get together. Remember he talked about the bees swarming, the old and the young goose honking, and they all, oh, I certainly. Bees are honkers. I don't care what they call me. Just get me out of here. Job said, when he calls, I'll answer. That's the big thing. Be one of the geesers.
Yeah.
Eagles. Screaming. All right. He does all three. Now, we see these things set forth in a tremendous fashion that gives us a tremendous insight to exactly what went on in our generation. And unless you understand that, you cannot appreciate, nor will you accept infallibility. I don't understand people. So why worry? I'm going to shut up. Forget it. I don't care about people. Let's care about the message. Okay, now, we say that this is a little prelude now. And we saw by 6 or 7 messages combined some fantastic quotes that we brought out to show you principles that Brother Branham enunciated, showing forth the presence of Elohim, who is the Word, who is Jesus Christ in a spirit form. How that all works in, don't ask me. I'm not God and I'm not a prophet. But it does. He said, because he said, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was God, and the Word was God. And he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. And he said, Elohim is here. And time after time, he spoke of recognizing the Word, which was not this. This is a blueprint. God in print. That's about the best thing you can say about that. That's a book. But when you see, when you see the manifestation of this Word, and God interprets his word by manifesting it, then you know that God has manifested and God is revealed, and it takes God here to do it. And it's not just in the form of a prophet. Take a look at that picture.
Yeah.
My brother man said that camera shows hundreds of thousands of people God. Now your theologian will say that's a lot of bunk. Your Pentecostals will say that's a lot of bunk. Because they're blind, wretched, miserable, naked, and don't even know it. And when you're that far gone, you're comatose. You're gone. You've been drugged by the sorcerers, because the word sorcerer means druggist. taken over completely by the opiates and the drugs of religion. What Marx said. But Marx was wrong in his assessment. Engels and Marx were wrong. Religion is not the opiate of the people, if he's a born-again person. It is anything but an opiate. It's a wakener upper. Because by the word of this hour, we had a spiritual resurrection. But the people who do not understand this word do have an opiate. For the Bible said, awake thou, the sleepers, and arise amongst the dead. So there's a bunch of sleeping people, there are a bunch of dead people. But now the sleeping ones have been risen, and they're here, they're ready to go in. Now, all right. That's a background of what we've been looking at. Now, in this message of events made clear by prophecy, and this is just a little recap on it, it is plainly set forth that the Bible is a book of prophecy and therefore chronicles history before it takes place. Prophecy is a chronicling of events that are yet to take place. What takes place as to present events is already stated in the Bible, and we can understand what is going on and what its impact is if we go to the Word where it is made clear. Now, nobody can understand what's going on unless they go to the Word. Now, somebody then has got to go to the Word to clean up everything going on. Now, on a phenomenon in the spiritual realm, the size of the ministry of Brother Branham goes unexplained from total investigation of Scripture. Something is wrong somewhere. And I mean it is. You know that what I'm talking about. That this Bible is written by God in the form of the Holy Spirit in the prophets. It is also truly revealed by the prophets. The only trouble is that when the prophets pass on, the theologians take over and they do, as Brother Branham said, make a mess of things. But God is faithful. He sends a prophet with a nature and a ministry to fit that hour and directs us to Jesus Christ, who is the central theme of the Bible, once again. This prophet is always on the scene at the accepted hour, or appointed hour, through the sovereignty of God. God makes himself known to his prophet and then vindicates the prophet to the people, so he's accepted by the elect, though hated by the others. Then when he is accepted, he brings a new message. Not a patched-up message. Nor does he come and say, praise the Lord, I approve. God never brought his approbation by a prophet yet, though approbation lies in there on the basis of a self-judgment. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Some men send their sins on beforehand, others leave their sins to follow. But when he's accepted, he brings a new message. As Brother Branham said, if he doesn't bring a new message, why bother to send a prophet? Why, you already know it. That's another thing you can't understand. Here's a man with the caliber of Brother Branham, the stature of Brother Branham. And they don't need to be told anything. Why, the thing is, they don't need to be taught. What they got to be doing is just shown, and they'll run into it too. You tell that to somebody that's in an assembly line and has a schematic in front of them. He doesn't want everybody there just looking at how he does it. They've got to read a schematic to get that thing done right. A lot of these preachers, they're not smart to go to the schematic. Or they think they are. So they'll gum up the works every single time. They're the ones that pick up a quart of maple syrup thinking it's a quart of oil and pour it in the works. Then watch what happens. Right. I don't gum your motor every single time, but you can't tell people anything if you got none to receive it. Like old Sojourner Truth said, the old colored gal, you know, she was a great emancipator. She went through stomping through the ears back there, and after the people were getting liberated, she was up at University of New York, I guess it was, and old Sojourner Truth was telling the truth, and one smart alley kid just, I don't know what he was, I don't think he's even a senior, and he was mimicking, and she said, son, I'd have told you something, but you ain't got nothing to receive it. She might have been black outside, she's sure white inside, and that goof was white outside, but he's black inside. they often claim the black man has a very thick skull, but I don't think the white man is any far behind. Very far behind him, I think he might even be ahead. So, all right, when he is accepted, he brings a new message, and after the message, he is taken away and judgment falls. Okay, we're right back then in Events Made Clear, paragraph 58. And read it again. We read it last two or three times, and we always stop there, but we're going on tonight by the grace of God. Every time that the church gets mixed up and God foreknew they would, well, how come? It's a book of prophecy. They're going to be wretched, miserable, blind, and naked, and don't even know it. Okay? Therefore, he has a certain prophet ready for that age to call his election by his vindicated word of signs and wonders and confirmation or confirming of his word. Confirming the word with signs following. as he promised. He gives a true interpretation after the prophet himself is indicated. Now, the signs following the word, as I pointed out, are different from the signs preceding the word, because he said he gives a true interpretation after the prophet himself has been vindicated. So the prophet's got to be vindicated to the people. That requires special signs that you and I can't have.
Amen.
Or we'd be prophets. David, Dane and Byron got all fussed up. And they said, who do you think you are, Moses, with your special sign, your special big gift to Gab here, that you're the Holy One amongst us? And he said, Moses, we've got all the people prophesied. But he said, that ain't the way it is.
Amen.
And they pulled that in court. And they began talking in tongues and prophesying. And Paul said, hold it, you don't have a right to think you know this word. He said, if you got the Holy Ghost, you're spiritual. You're a prophet. You'll acknowledge that the things that I write and I alone are the commandments of God.
Amen.
Brother Brad said, God never did use a group.
Amen.
And poor old Pope John 23rd, so humbly, he said, you know, it came upon him with such a tremendous force, he said, that the cardinal called his elected him to be the vicar. That word vicar always reminds me of a trumble, which is a knockety old cart that they took people to the death square and perished. Pardon my expressions. They're very good expressions, though. They will get me in trouble. Maybe they'll get me out of trouble, too. This man is vindicated by signs and wonders before he's accepted, and the signs and wonders keep on after he's accepted. And he's unique in that he has thus said the Lord. All but those who are elected to whom he sent hate him. They sure do. Now examine every instance and see if that isn't right or not. Only the ones he sent to. He came to his own and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he authority to become, to be, not to become. You don't become a son of God. You are a son of God.
Yeah.
You don't become a sheep from a hog. How do Christians believe in evolution? They say they don't believe in evolution, they'll even die. To tell you flat, bless God, there's no such evolution, but they'll tell you a goat can become a sheep and a pig can become a sheep. Why, they got Darwin pushed plumb off the map.
Amen.
And poor old Clarence Darrow, he looked like a saint of God almost in his purity. What's the matter with those people? God can't change nature. I like what Brother Brandon said. He said, when you leave here, you got the same character, the same guy, but you're in a different place. I don't know if I like that or not. Maybe I do like it. Well, I like it because God said so.
Amen.
My brother Brandon said, well, he said, if he sends me to hell, I love him. But he qualified. If I got the same spirit now, if I have the same spirit there that I got now. Okay. Notice now. Every examination of the word in every instance and at the end of every age or climax or junction, as I preached on many times. Now, you notice what he's talking about here. A prophet doesn't just come on the scene, come on the scene, come on the scene, come on the scene. There's a junction, or as which translation says in Peter, it's an epical strategic season. See? There's something tremendously definitive setting it apart. And if you miss this, buoy, it's gone. Okay. This is the time of adoption. We're talking about. Okay? Now, notice here. To them gave he the authority to be the sons of God. You'll see here then we have the authority to declare ourselves in relationship to God. Because that's what Matthew 16 was all about. And Matthew 17. That's what it's all about. Who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Why, you're the Christ. Amen. And you're Peter. You're a little rock off the big rock. See? And then in the Mount Transfiguration vision experience, there they were there. Right with it. Letting us know that the bride will be where he is in a glorified form. And this is the hour for it. She's already appeared right there. Now don't get that out of your minds, brother, sister. If you're looking down the road, I got news for you. You better start looking back and looking now, right there. Now Brother Brad said he takes the prophet. He takes the man, but not the spirit.
Right, amen.
See, everybody wants Brother Branham. I like him too. Because he got answers. But there's someone that gave him the answers that's leading us. Now, I don't know if people want to recognize that. That's fine by me. If they don't, I mean, that's their business. As long as we recognize, that's what counts. All right. Now, he said, all that come unto me, well, of course, the only ones that come to him will be the ones that are preordained of Almighty God. Now, he says here that those people who he's not sent to hate him. Now notice, he came unto his own and his own received him not. Right?
Yeah.
Now watch, he came unto his own and his own received him not, but amongst that own. In other words, there were those that were his own and those who claimed ownership of him and he of them. But only one group was truly owned by him, and they owned him. You follow what I'm saying? The relationship.
Amen.
All right, now, that's a little scripture I always quote. John 15:24, if I had not done the worst thing the men did, they did not sin, but now they both seen and both hated me and my Father. Now listen, the only people that you and me can understand that. You go to the Church of Christ, they deny healing, they hate God. Now you say, well, Brother Bill, don't Brother Bill me. Either you are a believer tonight or you are going to hell on your own testimony. Oh, you think I preached that series on love for it, just for fun of it? I stuck my neck out. I haven't got any repercussions. Funny thing, I expected a blast from here to Mexico and back from... I guess I got it from the gates of hell already without even knowing I got it. But if you don't have what's in that word, you haven't got it the way God wants it. Now, he categorically said to turn down. The vindication of the prophet is a sign of hatred toward God. The same holy Jesus Christ. And he is the holy Christ of God. Notice what he said over here in the book of Matthew, chapter 23. And I promised I'd get past this page, but I take my promise back. Promises are only meant to be broken, that's unless God made them. You might as well smarten up a note now. Okay. He said, behold, wherefore, behold, I send to you prophets. First, verse 34, Matthew 8. And wise men and scribes. A wise man can handle the word, a scribe will just tell it to you. And some of them you'll kill and crucify. Some you'll scourge in your synagogues. Persecute from city to city, you'll hound them. That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth. These fine, upstanding people who would die and kill for Christ. Protestants would die for Christ and Catholics would kill for him. Now they're all in the same boat. They'll all die for him. Oh, they will. Spiritual plague. Twice dead.
Yeah.
I'll kill him with death, he said. That's a funny way to say it, kill with death. When you're dead, what does it matter? You're killed, period. That's death. That's second death. You realize, brother, sister, the judgment won't... There'll be no judgment for him to say, well, you could come in. Name's not even on the book. Well, you're not even here. What are you talking about? Name's off. No record. How'd you like to try to establish yourself in some lineage and no record? Well, my thumbprint, we got it, honey. Well, my toe print, we got that too. No record. Your name's not there. What are you going to do? How are you going to prove your point? There's no way it can be done, see? All right. That upon you come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, and the blood of righteous Abel, unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom he stood between the temple and the altar. Now the Bible says that happens to the Jews in the many tribulation. Verily I said, all these things shall come upon this generation, and they sure did. Little tiny kids were there, they saw it. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee. Remember, whomsoever I send, receive whomsoever I send, receive of me. And he receives me, receives the one that sent me. See? In other words, you turn down that prophet, you've turned down the complete chain of redemption.
Right.
Your hope's gone. Now what about these folk then that want to say, well, I saw a great ministry. I can do the same thing. They'll do it. And the Bible said, they'll come in that day and say, haven't I cast the devils? Haven't done miracles, raised the dead? And so he said, I never knew you. See? Now watch this here. Now these are prophets in his place. All right? I would often gather you, thy children together, even as a hen gathers your chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold your house, and left unto you desolate, and for I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, did he say, blessed he that comes in the name of the Lord. Now, my brother, my sister, let's understand something. He said, I sent prophets to gather you. Is that right? Okay, let's go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 chapter, 1st verse. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. The presence is accompanied by a prophet. There it is. That's your gathering. And Brother Branham said, that's the word. He spoke 100% correct. You say, well, Brother Bale, you're shouting and you're saying he did it doesn't make it so. I got news for you. It does make it so. Not because I'm shouting and saying it. The Bible says so.
Yeah.
He said, I gather them by sending prophets. And people turn down the presence and the prophets. He said, well, I know the prophet, but that presence... come on.
Amen.
We said, my grandfather. I don't care about your grandfather. I had mother and father, too. I just wasn't born out here of an egg. He can go to hell either cursing God or praising God. Same difference. Doesn't make a difference. What do you believe?
Amen.
He said, that narrows it down. When did God not narrow it down? Oh, I know people hate that kind of people. Oh, babe, you got no love. Well, maybe I don't love you, but I love the Lord. I hope I do. I wouldn't say I didn't love you. As far as I know, if I know my heart, which I don't know too well because it's a pretty cruddy instrument, the pump works hard, you know. Good to me that way, otherwise it's not too good to me. It's deceitful, desperate, wicked, who can know it? But anything at all tells me I love people, love you especially. Now listen, they wouldn't take the prophets, so they're scattered, they're finished. Their house is left desolate, neither root nor branch at the end time. There's no more chances after this hour, this prophet comes.
Right, amen.
Burning. Now, come on. The burning has to do with the fan in the hand, the purging the floor, and gathering meat and burning.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't Malachi say that? And who's here doing it? God and his prophet. The baptizer, the judge, the king, the progenitor. I don't care what you call him, God. With every facet. Well, I haven't gotten my notes of the thing. What I read the other day, though, to you, where Brother Brown speaks of Jesus, and he said, and he didn't say heaven was emptied, but the idea was that heaven was empty. All of it. There's nothing left in heaven. People looking to heaven. Look up, look. Go ahead, look up. Oh, brother. You better look right in front of you.
Amen.
That's what Peter said in this hour. That's what Paul said in this hour. Paul said present truth. And Peter said present truth. And Paul said, he said, not looking at things directly behind, that's what you come out of, but what's right in front of you. In our case, Paul thought, in his case, it could be the first resurrection. In our case, it is the first resurrection. Who's come down here to raise the dead? Then who's appearing? Who are you looking to?
Hallelujah.
I'd like some answers from some of these preachers. I don't want any answers, pardon me. I don't need answers from anybody. I don't want even wanting from you. I want my answers from God. We're at just the same place you want your answers. Now, he gave authority to be the Son of God. See? Said to Peter, you're part. Who do you say that I am? He had the revelation that minute. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. See? Then he gave back to Peter. That was a custom. Who do you say I am? This is like the one that says, the real one stand up. Or who is the right one? Not a guessing game, but it's a thing that went on in that age, in that hour. See? So he, well, you're Peter. You're a pirate. You give the authority. And Brother Branham said, when you see that, and we give it back because we do see it, that's what the bride is talking about. He said, you're a believer. Then the rest are not believers. I'm sorry, but they're not believers. Oh, yeah, they're making believers, unbelievers, what do you want to put it? But they're not believers. Okay, it's adoption time. Paragraph 60. Look at the age of Noah at the climax before judgment. What happened? Now, he's illustrating all the way through. These are illustrations. Noah, it was only his own family that believed the man. The rest of them criticized him and destroyed the whole world. Now, if God comes to his own, then the prophet comes to his own. Then who are not going to criticize? His own. That is, it truly owns, though he owns it all. You see, the church has identified itself with him. See, as that vineyard. And the keepers of a vineyard. And he comes and he wants fruit and he doesn't have it. What's he going to do? He's going to cut down the vineyard and destroy the keepers. Now, you can't stop him. He's going to do it.
Yeah.
That's what Brother Branham came and they got mad at him. He preached judgment. Now, the rest criticized him. And God destroyed the whole world. Okay? Now, back up there in paragraph 59, we were talking about those that were truly believers and those that just associated. All right, there's your twins again. Cain and Abel, hate and love. Esau, Jacob, despising, regarding, believing, disbelieving, criticizing, and accepting. You got twins today. Now, let's go further. In the days of Abraham, only Abraham's group that believed. When the angels went and preached to Sodom, only Lot and his wife and two daughters came out, and she turned back to become a pillar of salt. That's another illustration. Now, who's going to be saved today? The family of God. Okay, we go to Ephesians 1 and 10. That's not hard to follow. That's easy, part and parcel. Okay. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. See? Okay? In whom we obtain inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things in court after his counsel, his own will, that we should be to the praise, and so on. Now, the Bible said the whole family of heaven and earth is named in him, and he's appearing at this hour to bring us all in. All right? Paragraph 62. In the days of Moses, only the elect of Israel came out, and Pharaoh hated him. There you are again. Another picture of hatred. Remember, as the bride is starting to move up, and the bride starts to move up with the shout. Now, she doesn't get out of here. She's just moving into it. And notice, as we are moving into it, Satan begins moving down. So that as the bride goes up, Satan comes down. The move is on, brother, sister. You bet it is. Move both directions. God's on the move with his bride, and Satan's on the move with his church. They're getting ready to receive him. We're getting ready to receive the Son of Man, the Son of God, all living in the valley, rose of Sharon, Elohim, call what you want, all combined in a glorified form in a rapture. We're getting ready to bring you forth to the great wedding supper. See? Okay? What about the devil's bunch? They're getting ready to bring forth the Antichrist. Now, verse 63, in the days of Elijah, everything almost was 7,000. Every one of them hated him and the whole nation. Okay? That's another illustration. In the days of Jeremiah, they threw unripe fruit at him, called him fanatic, because he laid in his side for so many days, and on the other side, and taken things made symbols, and they hated him. Now, Brother Branham is telling you here, watch this carefully, that there's a special hatred reserved for a prophet. You know why? Because they can't put a finger on him. They can't touch him. He stands there. And they know that he's called their bluff.
Amen.
Why? They even said a man sent from God. Then he wouldn't take what he said. I'm from Western Union. Got a telegram. Oh, get out of here, boy. Now, you're a nice looking kid. Oh, man, he said, you really rode that bike down here in a hurry. And I can tell the way you jumped off and came and rang my doorbell. Oh, that was great. I tell you, you're a fine fella. Your message, out of here. He said, listen, but I'm here for a message. A messenger. I have a message. Oh, well, fine. Somebody else. I'm busy. You're a nice guy. Out of here. Now, Brother Brand said, see, they couldn't put a finger on his character. Now, you and I might not say that, but it doesn't really matter that much. We're not involved like he was. They just hate us, but a prophet has a special hatred launched toward him. Just like Jesus. And remember, Jesus said they hated me without a cause. And you people have a cause to be hated, even prophets, because they're born in sin, shame, and iniquity. I know some people have the goofy idea that Brother Branham was born without sexual intercourse. And he went so far as to say his children were born without sexual intercourse. So one fellow said, well, let's go and ask me. Well, he wouldn't go. You know something? Stupidity is not the answer. God never went to a guy that... You know what? If you had a little accident with your thumb, you couldn't be in the priesthood. Or where do people get their thinking from? I'd like to know. And then again, who cares? I know where they got it. Just read about his, hers. So they hate him. Okay? Special hatred for the prophet, who is the living word of God manifested to us. How? Through Hebrews 1 and 1. God and the prophets. And people say, well, God did me too. Ah, not the ways in the prophets.
Amen.
That's a different story. See? He is the visible cause of the people coming out. Also, he's a true sign that is overlooked as the true sign of God. So, sir, they hate him. They don't recognize him. 66, fine. Isaiah the prophet, he condemned the race so much till they saw him in two of the saw, right? That's more illustration. 66. John the Baptist was a wild man down there, some screaming maniac. That's what they thought he was. All but those disciples that he presented to Jesus as a church. There he is. John made ready a people. That's what he's supposed to do. What's this one going to do? Make ready a people. How? By presenting him to the one that is the great one. And that great one increasing. How many did he have? He could count them on both fingers, both hands, your fingers. How many that John presented to Jesus when he came? Now what about his second coming? Think of it. What about it? There'll be a prophet, like John, a presentation, an introduction. What'll it do? Oh, in the eyes of the world, not very much. Because God's gathering in the fish, the lambs, the eagles.
Yeah.
Call it what you want. His own people. See? Now listen. When John identified himself, what effect did it really have? John came on the scene only preaching and a screaming. Really tearing people up. But they knew he had something. Now look. Let's take a look at modern history that we can count on. Luther and Wesley. Luther was a real outstanding teacher, theologian, a man that really knew the word. Wesley couldn't touch him with a 40-foot pole. The sheer weight of Wesley lay in his power of conviction, a driving force like John. That's a good type of Pentecost coming along, being the Spirit of God for that hour. Because when the Spirit of God and Pentecost came on, there were signs and wonders and miracles and gifts and those things restored back to the church. Which was only a preface again as a vindication to point that the coming one was appearing amongst us, about to appear. And William Branham came on the scene, vindicated the God, and showed he was here. Now, what effect did John really have? Little to nothing. Again, who recalled what Zechariah said in the temple that day? Who recalled Simeon and Anna at the time of Jesus? Who recalled anything? Who recalled the wise men? Well, look at it. If they murdered children 31 years ago, that'd be about 30 years ago, when Jesus, you know, well, hardly that. The kids were 2 years and under. That would make Jesus 28 years of age when he really came on the scene. Well, do you mean to tell me people forgot the murder of their little children in 28 years? Hey, no way. Well, you say, well, why didn't they put things together? That's the question. Why don't they? The same bunch said, well, look and see. No prophet comes out of Galilee. He never came out of Galilee. Came to Bethlehem of Judea. Now, somebody knew that. A lot of folk knew that. But who spoke up? Nobody spoke up. Dumb dogs that couldn't even bark. Except they barked the wrong way. Now, dogs always do that. Yap, yap, bark, bark, bark in the wrong places. Preach the same way. See now. Okay. He said, what about the second coming? Past paragraph 58. All right. But when the true Bible believers see the word so openly vindicated for the age they believe, there's no way to keep them from it. Believe it. They even seal their testimony with their blood. Now that goes across the board. What about this hour? It could. They believe it. It's then, it's to them. At that time, it's to them, see? The predestinated. That, for that certain age, the season believes. In other words, the message of this hour, that is the prelude, the first step to the going away, is for us and nobody else. All else are blinded to it. And when you believe that, that puts you right in there. Now, I know right away that people say, well, what about fruit? Fruit is, that's, you have to have fruit. But that's not it. You can be a Christian scientist, anything else, and have plenty of fruit. You can be a person that doesn't have any experience at all, in any way, shape, and form, and have lots of love and lots of grace and lots of this and lots of that, lots of savvy, lots of personality, lots of everything nice. Generous to a fault. That doesn't make it. Although that's good to have. Because at the White Throne, remember, you're complimented and allowed in because you were in the election and you came in not through blood in the baptism, but you came in through a works program, so to speak. Now you come in my name by that day and you'll be able to say, look, you can come in because you did so and so and so and so.
Amen.
Okay, but what does he say? When the Bible believers see the word so openly vindicated for the age. Now look, you've got to see what you're seeing vindicated for that hour, and where do you get it? Events made clear by prophecy until you can place it here. See? Through the prophetic message. You don't do it yourself. But you see it. See? When the true Bible believers see the word so openly vindicated, brought to pass, they believe. There's no way to keep them from it. Believe it. They even see the testimony of their own blood. Their blood. They believe it. It's then, it's to them, at that hour, this word is in effect to you. Whatever is supposed to be at that hour is in effect for you. You own it. You possess it. It owns you. It possesses you. You're one. You follow me?
Amen.
The predestinate. Predestinate needs to take on the form in physical. Foreknowledge election. It foreruns it. That for that certain age that sees it and believes. See? Now, Brother Brown said, your message precedes the second coming. Foreruns it. When we believe and identify, we are the ones that are going in that coming.
Amen.
You follow? Well, you better believe that, because that's what you're going to stand on. You're not going to talk in tongues and this and that and the other thing and say, well, I got some evidence. Hogwash, you got evidence.
Amen.
That mule will work you under the table. And he'll pull you just far enough to burn your cart down, too. Because there's burning coming. Now, you can have the dross burned out of you, and I can have the dross burned out of me. And we can be separated from chaff, or we can be burnt up with the fire, or burnt up with the chaff. Now, that's the choice. I didn't preach it. I'm not preaching what I believe myself. I'm preaching what this is in the Word here. All right, 68. Others just can't see it. They're blinded. Now you say they can't see it. Now he's bringing a question here. They can't see it. And look at the ones that can't see it. Number one. Now like Balaam couldn't. Why couldn't Balaam see? That he was a prophet anointed. Now how come even prophets will not see this? Same anointing. But not anointed to the word. Now you know what I'm trying to tell you here. Here's a man named Balaam whose prophecy is still coming to pass. Heaven and earth can pass away, but some things, these anointed ones of the end time, will not pass away. They'll be right there. They'll come right to the judgment. They'll survive, but those men will die. Now that means, brother, sister, there is a special evidence a prophet has that no one else has. And at that hour, there is a special faith that the elect have that nobody else has. There is a special understanding, a revelation nobody else has. So don't be fussed up if they don't believe us and understand as we believe. We could be wrong, they could be right, but I'll guarantee you one thing, they are not right, we are right.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Because there's no way that you can bring these together the way we do, and if we're wrong, there is no way, because our thinking has already gone way beyond what we ever believed. In fact, I've laid just about every bit of my thinking down. I can't say I'm perfect yet, you know before God I am not. But you do know one thing, if you know anything, you've got enough brains to understand what I'm saying, and I do know you've got enough brains to understand what I'm saying, and you believe what I'm saying, there's one thing I do know, that if I wasn't the first one to discover that principle, that I had to listen to Brother Branham in his own spirit and understanding, and not mine, I was pretty close to being the first one if I wasn't, but I'm the one that sat with him those hours. And I wonder why we've been fought so desperately ever since, because we try to say exactly what the prophet said and the way he said it. Well, I got the idea, the answer is right here.
Yeah.
I'm not boasting, I'm just telling you, do what you want. That's one reason I'm here. I got a ministry. That's just exactly what we're going to look at. Here's Balaam, a prophet. Truly a prophet. Died fighting Israel. So prophets can't necessarily see it. Okay? Because there's prophets in the country. Why couldn't Pharaoh see it? See? Well, Pharaoh couldn't see it. Prophets don't see it, then Pharaoh couldn't see it. Pharaoh's a political leader. And the church is full of politics. Pastor Pharaoh didn't see it. No way. How did Norway react when Brother Branham went there? Couldn't pray for the sick. Oh, Norway's too big. The Swedes are worse than Norwegians in my books. Because they're a proud, arrogant race. What a proud, arrogant race you are. They got sex so deliberate in your homes, the boy can bring home the girlfriend bring home the boyfriend, and mom and daddy bring up breakfast while they have sex in bed. You haven't got it that good over here, have you yet? Rotten, filthy scum.
Right, amen.
And condoned by everybody. Fap. You talk about immorality, sodomite condition, got in the world, and they got guts to boast about it. They're like the rooster that eats manure on a manure pile and then hadn't got any more brains than a crow about it. Gets up first thing in the morning to wake up the populace. You talk about degradation, brother, sister. Fair couldn't see it. Norway couldn't see it. But over in Finland at the border, Russian soldiers could see a boy raised from the dead and weep and say, that's the kind of God we'd believe in. All the Swedes and Norwegians in America, they all got the answers. They don't have one answer. Amen. If they had one answer, it wouldn't be wretched, miserable, naked, and blind. How far can you go? Destitute. Or bad as the mental little girl that thought she was going to marry the Prince of Wales back in Canada. But one day she found out he jilted her. You and he married? Oh, Wallace. What was your name? Wallace, yeah. Well, she's the third mate. Well, so much for American Great Britain. It's in the pulpit. That's what we're talking about. We're looking at the political side of this whole thing. King George had Brother Branham pray for him, though. He got healed. People don't believe that. I saw the letter by the secretary thanking Brother Branham. Who destroyed those files? Your guess is better than mine. I don't know. But I saw it. President's letters, everything else there I saw. I should have asked Brother Branham for him. At least a copy. He didn't do it. But I saw him. Okay, why couldn't Pharaoh see it? No way. When he saw the hand of God come down and perform miracles, only hardened his heart. Is that right? Sure. What's going to happen this hour? Hardening our hearts. Opens the eyes of one, closes the eyes of the other. Yeah. Light to one, dark to other. Why couldn't Dathan see it? A Jew himself. Brother Branham said, that's organization. Right out there, had come through the Dead Sea, ate the man every night. They fell fresh, couldn't see it. Why didn't Korah see it? Same reason, see? Yeah, organization. Why didn't Caiaphas see it? Religious head of the world at that time. Why didn't he see it? I'll tell you why he didn't see it, because it didn't come to him.
Amen.
Jesus didn't come and say, hey, Caiaphas, you're a real Messiah. You're a real Christian. Well, I tell you, I'm going to work with you and you're going to work with me. Why, Caiaphas, he had usurped his position. He was to step aside when the great high priest came. He didn't step aside, he stepped in his way. You talk about somebody trying to grab the ball and carry it. So much for that. See? Why didn't Judas see it? Judas was right with them, walking with them, performing miracles with them. But the word had to be fulfilled. The Bible said they were raised up to take that place. Raised up for that purpose. Romans 8 says that. All right, that's true. What about Judas? Well, someone might say, well, I think the Judas, that they'd be amongst us. I don't know if they are or not. Could be, couldn't necessarily be. I don't know. They could be the Pentecostals. Who knows? But all these people he brings out, and what he's showing you is no matter where you turn, what section, what segment, what person, if he's not in the election, he misses it. Pure and simple. So don't you get worrying about it. You just believe God and thank God you see something. Now, we'll take a few minutes more. It's 69. This is a good one. Now the believers can see the word is made flesh in their generation, God speaking. Now you might have missed that, but here's what he's saying. The word made flesh is God speaking. Not you and me, per se, although that's true in a way. He's speaking in terms of the prophet. So we go to paragraph 72 so we know a little bit more. Now the Bible said they were raised up for this purpose. But now when the true believer can see the word of that age made flesh, God speaking through human lips, and then doing exactly what he said he would do, that settles it. Then what is he talking about? The word made flesh is God speaking through human lips and then doing exactly what God said through those lips that he would do, and that settled it. That is God in human flesh. See? The word made flesh. I think you maybe better stick to word made flesh than God made flesh. You can put the two in there, but word made flesh is what he said. Word made flesh is definitely that God deals with people through a prophet, and that is his word, and that is flesh, because the prophet is flesh. He's not some mechanical thing. He's not spirit. He's a man of flesh. See? All right. But now when the true believer can see the word of that age made flesh, what is it? God speaking through human lips, and then doing exactly what God said through those lips he would do, and that settles it. Then what happens? You become word with the prophet. The prophet knows it already. Now you know it.
Amen. Yeah.
Now together you're one. I and my Father are one. I have received him and he has received me, because the Bible says, whosoever receives whomever I send, that one receives me. So therefore, when I receive the prophet, I receive the Logos. Then I received everything above and beyond what was manifested. I'm heir to it all. See? Let's go back now. The believer can see the word is made flesh in their generation, God speaking. Now them true, real believers, those 7,000, or was it 700? 7,000, right. In the days of Elijah, there were 7,000 men, about 2 or 3 million that saw that was right. Not a hundredth of the people, hardly. That's true. Not hardly a hundredth. Now, but they saw it was right. They saw God manifested. That old widow that Elijah was sent to, she went to get those sticks to make a cake. Enough to make a cake for her and her son, then die. But watch Elijah. He said, make me one first, for thus saith the Lord. The bear will not fail, neither will the cruse run dry until the day of the Lord. God sends rain upon the earth. No question. Took right off and make the cakes and give it him. Said, make mine first, then go make one for you and your son. For she heard that man and looked at him, and she was a predestinated seed. Okay. The prophet under Deuteronomy 18 is showing himself here. That is Elijah. All right. We saw the definition. Today there's 5 billion people on earth. Maybe 1 billion are Christians. Take 9 zeros and drop 4 of them. And you get 100 to 1%, 10,000. And that's about right. 10,000 make the rapture over the whole generation. 10,000 believers. And yet Brother Branham said he won 750,000 to the Pentecostal assemblies. Where does it even? Put a revival on all the earth. For what end? Cannon fodder. Atomic fodder. Okay, illustrates for today. Thus saith the Lord, a prophet in the land, William Branham, fulfilling Deuteronomy 18. Listening to the prophet. Has this woman listened? Brought the results. And if we listen to Brother Branham, though at this point we cannot make use of him in a prophetic ministry manifested in the miracles and signs and wonders, put that to one side. You've got the rapture made. The assurance of faith is not based upon you and me. It's based upon God. And his appearing. See? Now, he said here, there won't be the curse is here till God sends rain. Then the curse is removed when God sends rain. And he said, pray for rain in the time of the latter rain. Pray for what rain? You already got the latter rain. Who needs it? Pray for the former rain. Then the teaching rain is what we pray for.
Amen.
And then what? The curse is gone.
Praise God.
From the bride.
Amen.
Why, he said, you're nothing but the but the perfectly righteous virtuous bride of the Son of God. You didn't even do it in the first place. Man, I've been through that experience myself. Devil gets you so confused you think you're all messed up and everything's wrong, and then find out you're 100% right. Takes God to do it too. I'm going to tell you, God deals with human hearts, brother, sister. Don't think he doesn't. Don't sit here looking around back and looking for it. I've had so many people preaching to everybody, I've tried to take this away from me, and it isn't even funny. I'm going to tell you, you take one step back, and you just close, darkness closes like the kitchen. Move on, or you'll die where you're sitting tonight. You see, well, I got my grandfather. I ain't got a grandfather, praise God. Ain't got a mother, ain't got nothing. I got him, that's everything. I'm not boasting, just telling you. You got to make a move, brother, sister.
Yeah.
Like those four lepers out there. Well, they say, we can go back there, we'll die with that bunch of birds in there. And if we go forward, they like the Assyrians kill us because they'll just knock off the lepers. But they said, look, we're gone both ways. Let's just throw ourselves upon the mercy of God. I think we should move forward. God sent a noise in the camp. The Assyrians ran around killing each other, fussing in the fight, and led bushels and bushels of diamonds and food and everything else. And Elijah's prophecy came out that as there's a scarcity today, there'll be abundance tomorrow. And the old king said, well, he said, I suppose God's going to open the window and he'll do that. I suppose your prophet William Branham, he's going to do so-and-so. You bet your sweet life he is. He did it.
Amen.
Oh, brother, sister. He's mealy-mouthed bunch of birds. All those old crows out there croaking, you know, they're so happy they killed a sparrow or something. Bless God, we got eagle food. Many will say, verse 70, Targa City, that's that old crack again, God cursing us because of him. Remember Elijah said, you're the one that's troubling Israel. Brother Branham was a woman-hater by those people. They call him a self-styled judge. They revoked his office in their own minds. There's now no repentance. 71. He said, you're the one that's troubled Israel. See who God, whose word, God, he was vindicating. Whose word he was vindicating? His own word. See, God was vindicating his own word. He had to do what he said, you see. Now, a prophet ministry stirs things up and creates problems in the status quo. Yeah. Jesus upset the tables. So did these prophets. Prophets preach repentance through rebuke and then call people out. That makes a division. And then they hate him because now we're divided. You know, the best thing you can ever do is to leave your mother's womb. Boy, what a mess if you stayed there for years and years. The poor woman's wife. Boy, if you didn't get out of there, she'd get you out of there. Who wants to be in the belly of the old harlot? Get out of her. People don't want to let their thinking go. They want to put a new patch on an old garment. Want to stay at Pentecost. Listen, brother, sister, tongues is no evidence. Amen. Shouting is no evidence. Truth is no evidence. Power is no evidence. Obedience is no evidence. What's the evidence? That you can associate with that.
Amen.
See, God's not doing what people think he's doing. Or if you can't take that statement, God's not doing the way people think he ought to do. And he's still not doing what people think he should do. And if they did think that, they still wouldn't think he's doing it the right way. But he knows what he's doing. So does he prophet. Now the Bible said they were raised up for this purpose. But now when the true word believer conceived the word of God that age made flesh, God speaking through human lips, then doing exactly what he said he would do, that settles it. Now that settles it. That man said absolutely, thus saith the Lord, it never failed, that settles it, and you stand on that. Now you've got a firm foundation. And if you stand on that, whatever you thought before, you're going to let go. You will not question what you believe from the past. I mean, you will question what you believe in the past. You will not question what he says now. Forgetting those things that you are behind. And believe me, you've got to forget what's behind. That means you've got to purge your mind. With the help of the Holy Ghost. Right? Okay. All right. Now. 73. Now watch the rest of it. Don't watch signs. Now see, Mark 16 has always been there, and people go to Mark 16. Don't do it. You're not looking at Mark 16. You're looking at a vindication that God specially gives the man that's apart from Mark 16, but Mark 16 will follow. Mark 16 does not say, go around the world saying, thus saith the Lord. That's Deuteronomy. Mark 16 does not say, you'll speak face to face with God. That's number 12, and a very special one. Even John 14 and 12 doesn't tell us to go around and do all the signs. That's a very special person. That's he, a singular. Not they. Mark 16 is they. Don't watch signs. If you watch signs, you'll be fooled as sure as the world. Now, how sure is the world? It's here. You better believe it.
Yeah.
False prophets will rise and show signs and wonders that will deceive the elect where possible. Just like Judas. The only one's the end time. Okay. Watch the word. Look at these priests, these prophets. Hebrew prophets standing there. Zedekiah with two great big horns saying, I'm an ordained of God prophet. That was true. I have 399 right here with me and the Holy Spirit upon us confirming and saying the land belongs to us. Let's go up and take it. And by these horns, Ahab, you'll push the enemy right off the ground, for God gave us the ground. Now you see, that guy was quoting a scripture that was dead for that hour. Why? Because Israel could only maintain the promise under conditions, and they broke every single condition in idolatry. You watch how people quote the word in idolatry. Oh, they'll quote it backwards and forward, up and down, make you and me look like a couple of two-bit jerks out of the boondocks. Quote us right off the mat. They're wrong.
Amen.
It's best to have 10 scripture right than know 999 and have wrong. Because the greatest lie in the world is 99% truth. But watch that religious good man Jehoshaphat. Haven't you got one more? See? Okay. Now these religious guys, if they believe Brother Branham, they'd have believed the show.
Right.
They don't do it. So how could they do it? All right, now here's these religious men. old Chaucer said, haven't you got one more? One more? Why, there's 400 in agreement, he said. Yes, there is one around here, but I hate him. Always bawling us out and telling us what great sinners you are and everything. I hate him. He's Micaiah, the son of Imlah. Oh, don't let the king say so. Go get him and let's hear what he's got to say. They brought him down there and he said, give me a night and I'll see what the Lord says about it. Ahab said, I adjure you, don't you tell me nothing but the truth. He didn't want the truth any more than he wanted another kick in the head by the mule. In fact, he'd have sooner had a kick in the head than by the mule, said what he had better, what Chaucer say. The men come and said, now, if you want to get back in fellowship, just say like the rest of them. Micaiah said, I'll just say what God says, see. Next morning they come out and the king puts their robes on, sit in the gate, all the celebrity and all the prophets stand there, and said, now, fanatic, what do you got to say about it? He said, go on up. Go ahead. But I saw Israel scatter like sheep having no shepherd. He smote, took his hand, smacked him in the mouth. The prophet smacked the prophet in the mouth. Now, the mouth is the vital organ of speech. That's considered the vital organ of speech. My words put in your mouth. The prophet came and hit another prophet. Who's doing the damage today against the message? Those anointed with the correct spirit but wrong to the word. And they say, I can do the same thing. I can do the same thing. I can do the same thing. And they did it. Now, both these anointed prophets standing there prophesying, for and against one, look pretty strong. Now, in the multitude of counsel, there's not always safety. See? Now, notice one anointing came against another anointing. One word came against another anointing. And notice the seals revealed the true baptism. What really is the true Holy Spirit baptism, see? Never forget that. See? Now, remember at the Voice of Healing Convention, they withstood Brother Branham. Brother, that was down in Florida that time. Brother Branham came to see us down there. He said, Brother Vail, I'd like you to come up to Chicago. We're going to have a meeting up there in December. Come on up. And he said, we'll talk about India and places like that. And you're going to meet so-and-so. And you know what? I prayed about it, and some friends of mine sent me some money to go up there. They wanted me to go. I didn't have any money. And the Lord literally spoke to my heart and said, don't go. And then I said, well, I kind of would like to go because I said I would go. He said, you can go if you want. It won't do any good. It's just confusion. That's all that took place, is confusion. I didn't get to see Brother Brown. There are two hotels by the same name, and I turned up the wrong one. That's the time the people on the platform lied and lied about me, lied about Brother Branham, the whole bit. It wasn't worth being there. And later on, another big convention, they were gonna test and try Brother Branham, and Brother Branham scared the daylights out of him, so not one of them came forward to contest him. Then they said, oh, we believe you, Brother Branham. We're going to get baptized. And not one of them got rebaptized. Man was going to take 200 tapes. He never took one tape. Why? Because you couldn't follow a man of God because your prestige was too great. See, it doesn't pay to have prestige or be anybody. If you're just crazy old nobodies, you got it made. And I'm going to tell you, you can be just a nobody and God will make you somebody. See, if you're sitting here, you forget that God takes the beggars off the dunghill, like we said on Sunday. Do you think that God takes these nice, sweet-smelling boys with underarm deodorant, and they curl their hair just nice, so it stays in place, and they've been the latest barber and all that sort of stuff? Oh, you're nice guys. Fat God ain't going to take one of you this nice. You're too nice for God. Nice people make God sick. Well, these Laodiceans are beautiful. Why, they're in their own sight. And you can't see one person out there wretched, miserable, naked, blind. You go to the Pentecostal church, Baptist church, Methodist church, they're not rich, they're not poor, miserable, naked, blind. That's spiritual. You go there, man, they got millions of dollars. They got billions of dollars. Go back to the day of Robert Kennedy and his brother. Oh, Robert, he was an outstanding upstart of attorney general. So he began combing all the colleges and universities and the schools for those who were pinkos and reds. He did a good job ferreting them out. And one day he said, hey, boy, we did a good job. We're going to descend on the preachers because the pulpits are full of reds too. And auction them and warden those guys. They said, hey, son, do you want your brother to be president next time you want to be attorney general? One move toward the pulpit and you is out, out, out. Because we just tell our people don't vote and they don't vote. And they backed right off. Go and read the records. Read the records. I'm telling you the truth. Sure. That's the way it is. You can't tell from the outside. But we have a revelation.
Right.
See? All right. Now he said, they say, the Bible said there's, you know, safety in a multitude of counsel, but it said it depends on the counsel, see? What they're counseling about, what their counsel is. There wasn't safety there for the king, and he took that multitude for their counseling to be right. But if he had just stopped and turned back to the scroll and looked where Elijah had said. See, a preacher told me that years ago, and he wanted me to disobey God and listen to him, a big, big general superintendent of Canada. He said, the multitude, they're lacking my wisdom. I looked around, and only saw him. Remember old George R. Upton? I'll be living or not, I care less. But I thank God for one thing. He got me out of organization. I couldn't even get it. No, the spirit like mine. You can have your organization. Anybody around here afraid I'll lead your organization? You've got to be sick in your head. You better examine the records again. I got more use for organization than a cow's got for two tails unless she's swatting flies, and I don't care if swat flies. Do what you want. I'll fly swatters. See, paragraph 83. Then Micaiah couldn't say anything. He didn't know, but maybe God forgave Ahab for it. Okay? Let's go to 1 Kings 21, 25 to 29. You see what we're talking about. My brother Bannon said that. 1 Kings, where are we? 21. 2 Kings, too far. 21? 25, 29, all right? Here it is. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. See, I'll tell you what, you get a church behind, you'll go anywhere and do anything. And he did very abominably in following idols, according to all things he did as the Amorites, whom the Lord cast up before the children of Israel. And it came to pass when Ahab heard these words, he rent his clothes, put his sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted, lay in sackcloth, and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah Tishbite, saying, Seest thou how Ahab humbles himself before me? Because he humbles himself, I will not bring evil in his days, but in his son's days I'll bring evil upon his house. Now Ahab had to die, but the evil was spared later. You see, that's what this man Elisha knew, or this man Micaiah knew. He said, I got to seek God, he said, because this may be one of those periods where God says, call it off, it's not the day. So he went and sought God. And God said, this is it. He came back and said, this is it. This is your hour, Ahab. And it was. You follow? Okay, but first being probably see God. And I found out what God said. He said, I saw God sitting on a throne, had all these counselors of heaven gathered around him. He said, who can we go down and cause Ahab to come out here? He can otherwise fulfill the prophecy that was made about him. See, prophecy. Elijah had already said, the dogs will lick your blood, see. So he said, he saw a lying spirit go up from beneath, come up before him. And he said, I'll go down getting his prophets, Ahab's prophets, and cause them to prophesy a lie. Now, you understand, brother, sister, what we're saying here? That these men that are doing these signs and wonders could well be devil-possessed. Not the devil possession doing the signs and wonders. But genuine gifts. And gifts are not the Holy Ghost any more than the baptism with the Holy Ghost that you and I got is God himself. It's just a microcosm. Okay? As again, what's infinity? The biggest number of trillions can go an infinite number of times into infinity. So God can pour himself out and pour and pour and pour and pour and never empty. Never diminish himself. My people, listen, this is not hard to understand. This is just common. Even God in nature will tell you this. I'll go down and make them lie. Lie what? Lie about the word. Okay? Oh, time's going on. 86. Now, God knew that those men were so puffed up and so full of theology, not revelation, theology, comparing this and that, that they thought they had everything right. They had never noticed the word for the hour, see? So God said, you'll succeed, go on down. And when Micaiah said that, that made them prophesying under an evil spirit. That's exactly right. They certainly did. They'd have jerked the plug out of the telephone. Now, he's on a telephone hookup, see? Or turned off the radio, had he been on one. Or done anything. They heard that coming against them, got up and walked out. And they did walk out of his meetings. But look what happened. Now, Micaiah had to check his vision with the written word. Therefore, he knew. He said, put that man in prison, give him waters of sore and bread of sore. When I return, I'll deal with him. The prophet said, if you come back, at all, God never spoke to me. That's when he knew his vision, and he knows his vision exactly with every word for the hour. It was Ahab's time. You see, it couldn't happen at any other time. Now remember, God gives the church space to repent. And when they don't, they set themselves on a course with which they cannot turn back. And at the sixth, the seventh church age message, they can't turn back. See, every vindication proves that. The word is brought into a form of life and it's right in front of us. Will you take it? If you take that, you're on your road. If you don't take that, you're stuck with what you got. Now, do you want to get out of here? Now, I know you're thinking, well, maybe I can do something. That's what you do. That's the labor of faith. That's the greatest battle ever fought. That's your Armageddon. When you say sink or swim, live or die, I'm stuck. Now, you might be even wondering about a lot of these things. Well, I don't understand. I've got my doubts. Who hasn't? Are you some super-duper-duper-duper? Man, my God, if you're that great, you come up here and tell me how it's done. You've already done past the resurrection. You up there glorified. Come on. Elisha got weary. Elijah got weary. John. Everybody has problems. Why? Old Abraham had problems. He had even problems when the promise of the resurrection was fulfilled him in a tape. He had a renewed body. And young men of 20 years of age are usually much hungrier should be than guys that are 45, 50, at least 100 like Abraham. How could you have a man 100 years old eat like some of you young fellas? I'll tell you one thing. If the old man 90 years old could eat better than some of you young guys, there's something wrong with your appetite. There's something nutty about him. And Abraham was turned back and his wife, and they got mighty hungry. They had big appetites again. Because they're a couple of kids again. And there was a famine, so he said, I better find me a lot of food to eat. And he goes down there amongst the Philistines, wherever they were, and here's old, I forget his name anyway, but you know, not Abinadab or something else. I'll get, it doesn't matter, Abimelech. I guess what, he goes on down there, and he said, you're such a pretty girl again. He said, I don't mind you being pretty. He said, that's really great. He said, but that's going to get me in trouble. See where he's going? Now you got a promise right here. That promise can cause you trouble. But God's going to fulfill his promise. You get your eyes on the fact God's going to fulfill it. We've had the sign of the resurrection, brothers. It's the same as Abraham did. That's in the appearing.
Hallelujah.
Next is coming in flesh. So my, we've got to get our eyes lifted up onto our citadel, which is Christ, our living God. See? Okay. Now, he says here it was Ahab's time. And we repented. We changed our mind. And sure, we got troubles. That doesn't mean a thing. God's faithful. See? Brother, sister, this is the hour and the time of the calling out of Babylon. The evening lights are here. Walk in the light while it's light. What happens in the light? You have fellowship with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing. He tells you they're flat. John tells us, and Brother Branham reiterates, that if you walk in the light, the blood is effective. But you can walk all you want, and though it appears light to you and light to others, it is not light if it doesn't jibe with that net, which is the word here. See, listen, brother, sister, we are under a different interpretation we ever were before. Everything has got to go. Everything has got to go. Can't have one word left anymore. You know what it's like? It's just like, you know, you get tired of everything. You say, well, Lord, you let me commit suicide. But you always have one thought in mind. Let me wake up in the place I want to wake up in. You want to commit suicide. You really don't want to die. You just want something better. And you think, if this is the way to get it, well, hallelujah. This is the way we go. And so death isn't bad at all. Not even blowing your brains out is half bad. I don't think you should do it. But then again, if you did it, that's your business, not mine. I understand these things because people just want to get out of here. They say there's something better. Well, I suggest you blow your brains out now with the Word of God.
Praise.
Yeah. I suggest you blow your mind with the prophet's word. Get it out. Just get it out. That's what you want to do anyway. And that's the time you will wake up through your spiritual resurrection into a physical resurrection. Now then your cells can build around the true living Word of God. But I'm going to tell you something. You will not have immortality building itself into your cells around anything but the truly revealed word. It won't work. Wrong chemistry. Transplant a heart, what happens? Chips it out. People don't live forever normalized with a transferred heart. Oh, they get away with kidneys, I guess, to a degree. There's certain things shows, you know, but when you're dealing with heart, you're dealing with soul. But you deal with the word of God, then it's a pain all by itself. See? Now look at here. Evening light is here. Walk in the light. The blood of Christ will cleanse you. Notice the believer saw the word manifest and believed. There, right back at it, you see. Right back. The believer saw the word manifest and believed it. That's your paragraph 72 over here. But now when the true believer can see the word of the age made flesh, God speaking through human lips and doing exactly what he said, he would do said of it. Let me read over here something in the Bible. I can find it. Harvest time, Son of Man revealed. The Son of Man is the word living itself again amongst the people. There you are. Okay? Now, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, my word, my signs of the age. A false one they'll not follow. We don't follow false people. Why, they can show more signs than Brother Branham if you want. That doesn't bother me any. I'm convinced I saw the original. Anything else accounted for it. Who gives a rip? See? Now, let's go to our text, because I see I'm going to get away. I want to emphasize on that prayer line a lot. Let's get back a minute. We get to the text. Okay, now Brother Branham's going to get to the text, so I'll put a little note here. That, what is the date today? August the 14th? 14th ended. I'll put it right here, ended. Okay, that's all we get tonight. Now, we just simply say this. This sermon here is just like all the others. Just like all the rest. It's a constant testimony and a witness to Almighty God, to His prophet, to the living Word. Say, here it is, it's living in this hour, and this is the part that's living. This concerns you, and when you believe, you're living also. And Christ said, because I live, you live, and there He's living. Risen from the dead, the sign of the resurrection. Everything is here, brother, sister. Don't let yourself get into some death sleep of unspiritual wisdom. Shake yourself from all your thoughts. I'm not shaken from all of mine yet, but I certainly am not what I was 20 years ago. And yet I knew more than 20 years ago, I had to get rid of my own thinking. Because I was caught red-handed. You cannot go back to fundamentalism. You cannot go to Pentecost. You get rid of your book of doctrine and go to the living Word of this hour, and that's all you need to dwell on. I'll be like those guys in Europe who say, well, Zacharias says this, and they took so long to bury the dead, and this stunk over here. Yeah, stinks. You bet it stinks. That's where they get Limburger cheese. I didn't say the tongue-in-cheek. I said what I meant, and I meant what I said, and I can say plainer. I've seen your folly. I've seen your downfall. Oh, we got the prophet. You got the prophet, then you better get back to the Word. Oh, brother, they'll do handsprings, go through everything. Let me warn you. I've said it tonight. And I brought it out, the Word of this hour. You don't look ahead, you don't look back. You say, what about this? I asked a question within the last 20 verses. What is this? I don't know the answer, I said. I'm not interested. See? Brother Brad said he appears three, he comes in the three comings. Came back in flesh that's gone by. Going to come in the rapture. Going to come back to earth. You say, well, what about him appearing the Jews? I don't know and I don't care. And that may startle you. I don't care. I'm not a Jew. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't be bad if it was. Got the hook nose and a whole bit for it. Ain't got the pocketbook. Especially for Wall Street. I'm not interested. Why should I be? The prophet tried to preach the seven vials or trumpets. And God said, no way. The bride will be out of here. She doesn't need that. What do I need to know beyond the prophet's statement? See, brother, sister, don't impugn the integrity of God. Thus saith the Lord coming to pass means He says right. You're going to say, well, Levi said He's going to give each one of us $10. Now, I could give everybody here $10 if I cash a check, get my wife's money. Doesn't mean two of us could give you $10 quite easy. Byron made that promise. See, if you say, thus saith Levi, He's going to give you $10. They said, thus saith Levi, you're a liar. I'm going to back you up for if you gave me money to give each. Well, brother, he'll back me up. I'm going to give you $20 for each one. I say, drop dead, boy. You lied. You bet. You face it. You think, you know, I ain't got integrity alongside of God. But you think God would let that man lie and then back him up? God? Oh, come on. Even the devil wouldn't do that. He's a louse. Why, people think that man's the devil. Devil take God's own sign? This is God's own word, and the prophet wants to impress us. Stay with this living manna. Forgetting those things behind. The hour of the resurrection. The living word. This word living. Logos. And Logos can only manifest this printed page. We partake in giving on the living word. Being transformed. Getting ready to go away. The veil opened asunder. The veil covering the showbread and the mercy seat. The living fire. Brother, sister, right in the presence of Almighty God, right in me. And people sit around. I'm going to tell you something. That prophet made that so real, but the same God that made it real to the prophet, where people jumped up and down and screamed and everything else was real to the prophet, and they tried to catch his spirit, they didn't catch it. It just made so much racket you couldn't hear him. Tonight it's our turn. When he was way up here, we were down here. Now he's gone, we're up there. You say, you believe it? Sure, I believe it. You can believe what you want. Yeah. I'll tell you flat. Just because people don't have gold in their teeth, everybody. I got gold in my teeth, ain't he? Since then, I had some cheaper stuff put in. Oh, yeah, I'll catch you. You think just because I don't have good sight, everybody else has poor sight? Fact. There's those people got 40-40 vision or 120. They can see through almost through a stone wall. Don't just go looking around at yourself just because you're this way or that. I've seen too many people that way. I learned my lessons as a little kid. I thought everybody, things happen just the way they happen to me. And I said, trying to tell them, they laughed at me. He said, don't happen that way at all. And I was so embarrassed, I found it. Come on, grow up. You're the old thing, the carnal thinking. Get right with this word tonight, brother says. Listen, getting with this thing does it all. I'm trying to show you. It's grace. It's not what you do. As Brother Branham said, if God ever sends his power back in the church, it's not because of beings, it's because of grace. He said, look at me. What are you looking for? He said, looking for great gifts. He said, it's not gifts. He said, looking for great fruit. He said, it's not fruit and character. No way, shape, and form. None of those things. What is it? It's God. The living word. Now, what's the living word going to do? Because he lives, we live also. Getting ready for the rapture. The going away. That's what it is. That's your land at this time. I've got to make an announcement just before we go. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of allowing us together to study your word, Lord. And I pray, oh God, it just gives us food for thought and just gives us the water of life, Lord. And all these things, oh God, just pouring upon us for your name's sake, Lord. Yeah. Let it not be any glory of ours, Father. It isn't anyway, but Lord.